Okay. Good morning. Morning, everybody. Today's daf in Me'ilah's daf Yud. Hard to imagine. We just blinked and we're halfway through the Masechta. It's just about. The Masechta is 21 blot long, and we are getting to kind of the midway point. And Prakim, we're not in the midway point. We're finishing up today the second parak of Me'ilah. Still got 6. Okay, so we still have 4 more prakim to go after today, but everything's going to be short. In general, Me'ilah is a short Masechta. What are we doing right now? We're in the middle of the second parak, and we talked yesterday about Me'ilah regarding a karban, meaning the first parak dedicated to Me'ilah regarding a karban that were karban psul, or karban ne psul. Am I saying it right? Okay. Any karban which is a pasul karban is subject to Me'ilah under limited circumstances. And then the second parak talked about, what if you do everything correctly? Right, the first tosis in the parak, right? Our parak is dealing with kachim that are biksherim. You did everything correctly. So we just want to know now, just the guidelines. When does Me'ilah begin and when does Me'ilah end? So when are you in the penalty? When are you now, when you misappropriate from a karban, so when exactly are you subject to Me'ilah? So our rules, which are basic, which we've gone over a number of times already, but you know we're reviewing, we're going to just keep hammering it in, is that when it comes to kachim, like a chatas, like an ola, like a shlamim, so you're subject to Me'ilah from the point of origination, from the point that you're makdish the animal in its entirety is subject to Me'ilah. When is it the Me'ilah lifted? Well, it depends. If it's by carbonola, the answer is never, because the animal is going to go onto the Mizbeach and being burnt on the Mizbeach. In fact, the Isra of Me'ilah continues even while it's being burnt. How about when it's reduced to ashes? So you'll remember yesterday, we're going to revisit today, a machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan, when it's reduced to ashes on the top of the Mizbeach. So Rav says at that point in time, it's not subject to Me'ilah. The Gemara qualified, even Rav's position is only after the Trumas Hadeshen in the early morning. Then and only then, according to Rav, is the penalty of Me'ilah lifted from the ashes on the top of the Mizbeach. According to Rav Yochanan, no. The Isser of Me'ilah continues even while it's reduced to ash on top of the Mizbeach. Even after Trumas Hadeshen, it's still subject to Me'ilah. According to Rav Yochanan, when is the penalty of Me'ilah lifted? So Rav Yochanan says, when the ashes are taken out to the base Hadeshen, a place outside the Azara, where all the ashes were removed, just simply, it's a pragmatic mitzvah, as I explained yesterday, just simply to clear the top of the Mizbeach, to make room for more karbanos. So at that point in time, once it's removed to the Beis HaDeshen, then naseh mitzvah so, and at that point in time, you have the mitzvah of Me'ilah is lifted. One of Rav Yochanan's proof, if you remember yesterday, that the Isra of Me'ilah continues, is that when the Kohen does the Hotzas Hadeshen, not the Trumas Hadeshen, but the Hotzas Hadeshen, he still needs to wear Big Day Kahuna. So you see that even the Hotzas Hadeshen is still part of the Avoda regarding the ashes of the Mizbech, and therefore it's still subject to Me'ilah. Only after it's taken out to the Beis HaDeshen, Rav Yochanan says the Isra of Me'ilah is lifted. As I mentioned yesterday, the Rambam passes like Rav Yochanan. Right, generally speaking, Machlok is Rav and Rav Yochanan, Halach is like Rav Yochanan. Okay, good. So that's what we went over yesterday. And yesterday we also went over basically this permutation regarding all karbanos, meaning when exactly does Me'ilah begin and when does Me'ilah end? By a chatas, by an asham, Me'ilah of the meat of the animal is lifted at Zrikas Adam, although early in the Masechta we debated that. But let's say it like it is, like the accepted position. It's at Zrikas Adam now, where now the meat is Mutal Kohanim, so therefore there's no longer an Isra of Me'ilah, a din of Me'ilah on the meat. By Shlamim, it's just the exact opposite. When you makdish the animal, there's not yet a din of Me'ilah, because it's not yet Kachi Hashem. Only after Zrikas Adam, then and only then, is there going to be a din of Me'ilah, specifically on the Imurim, the parts of the Shlamim that are going to go on to the Mizbech, because after Zrikas Adamim, those parts now are earmarked as Kachi Hashem. Good. Okay, and we also just reviewed the Machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan, and we're ready to move on. We are now in the Gemara on Daf Tes Amud Beis. Did I say Daf? Today's Daf is Daf Tes? I said Yud? Good. Look at that. I started off correctly. We're now in the middle of Daf Tes Amud Beis, and we're now starting with Itmar. Okay, the Gemara now has the following discussion and debate. Hananami basa kachay kadashim lefnei zrikas damim. V'imurim kachin kadashim la'achar zrikas adam. So let's say you benefit from the meat of kachay kadashim before zrikas adam. You're mole. Okay, you're mole behektish. And here, not only were you mole behektish, but a karban. you decided that if anything you're going to be moel, you're going to be moel by a carbon. Now let's assume you're doing this b'shogeg because as Rashi is going to identify, we're going to talk about chomesh and we're going to talk about a carbon asham. So you did a b'shogeg, it wasn't that heinous crime, but you sat down and you enjoyed the mead of the carbon of a chatas or an asham, but before zvikas adam. So you classically now were moel behekdesh. Or let's say you ate the imurim of the shlamim after zrikas adam, but the same basic idea. You're a moel behekdesh. Okay, so we know. Here's what we know. You're on the hook. You have to make full restitution of that which you benefit from. You have to add a chomish, right? 25% of the value of what you benefited from. Plus, you have to bring a karban asham. Okay, that's what we know. Here's a simple question of the Gemara. You're gonna have to make restitution. To whom? Who do you owe? Meaning you owe somebody. Who do you owe? So if it's a classic case of bedek habayis, something is owned by the Beis HaMikdash and you misappropriate and you use it. So in other words, you're going to pay back the bedek habayis. But here, not that simple. Because here, who did you steal from specifically? The Mizbeach. You stole from something that was earmarked to go on to the Mizbeach, and you took it for yourself. So who do you need to reimburse? I know this is going to sound funny. The Mizbeach. You need to reimburse the Mizbeach. Which means now that the money that you pay to make restitution of that which you took has to be earmarked to the Mizbeach. Now even that now is not going to be so simple. Watch as the Amoraim now debate. Rav Amar, Mashenene, Yipulul Nedava. So Rav says, fine. So figure out how much you benefited from, right? Assign it a value. Take money, give money, and put it in the pushka. Now when I say the pushka, by the way, I'm talking, everyone knows, Nedava over here means that there were pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash where when you put money in that pushka, it meant that that money was going to be used during the slow season in the Beis HaMikdash for Olas Nedava. Right, it's called Ketz HaMizbeach, precisely. Okay, and there were 13 pushkas in total. Of those 13, 7, I think I'm saying it correctly, 7 of them are for Olas Nedava, for Ketz HaMizbeach. Fine. Okay, Mishnah in Shkalim, that once upon a time we did. So, Rav says, fine. So, figure out how much you stole and put it in the pushka. Put it in the Nedava. And basically what Rav is trying to accomplish is, you stole from the Mizbeach, you pay back the Mizbeach. Now Rashi points out over here, the Gemara doesn't mention this, Rashi points out that even though it says Mashenene, of course the Gemara means, and you're going to add a Chomish, and on top of that also you're going to bring a Karban Asham, and that's all true, but that's not our main discussion. Our main discussion is, so how do you do it? How do you pay back? Good, so that's the opinion of Rav. Levi Amar, Yavi Davar Shekulo Mizbeach. Levi says, no. Give something which is Kulo Mizbeach. Something which is totally to the Mizbeach. Now, what's Levi's issue with Rav? How is Levi disagreeing with Rav? Levi basically says like this to Rav. Rav, your idea is good, but insufficient. Because let's think about this. Your money now is going to go for the purchases of Olas Nedava. Okay, now follow. What's going to then happen? So then they're going to, the Kohanim are going to go into the Pushka, take out the money, buy Olas Nedava, and offer the Olas Nedava. Now most of that is going to go on to the Mizbeach. But not all of it. The skins are going to go to the Kohanim. So here's what you didn't do. You didn't make a full restitution. You mostly paid back the Mizbeach, but not totally. See, what you did is not good. In other words, you stole from the Mizbeach, you got to pay back dollar for dollar, 100% back to the Mizbeach. And if all you did is just buy an Ola, so you mostly paid back the Mizbeach, but that's not good enough, says Levi. Huh?
Maybe that's
yeah, but he wants all the money to go to the Mizbeach. So Levi says, so what you have to do is you have to donate something to the Beis HaMikdash, which is totally burnt. Now Levi doesn't tell us what that is. The Gemara later on will tell us. He's referencing Ketores. In fact, the Mishnah upcoming is going to give us a whole list of things which are totally burnt on the Mizbeach. But that's what Levi's issue is regarding Rav. Now, we start with the Braisa. Tanya Kavase de Levi. So first we start off with the Braisa that supports Levi. Mi'ila zula hechen oleches. So where does this mi'ila go to? Meaning you ate carbon. You shouldn't have eaten it. You were mol behekdesh. You ate carbon. Where does the money go to? So halameidim lefnei chachamim. So those who were learning in front of the chachamim, and Rashi identifies this as Levi himself, which coordinates with what we have just learnt. Halameidim lefnei chachamim. Omer yavidav shekol mizbeach my neil ketores. So the Braisa tells us that's ketores. Ketores is totally burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, you are going to donate ketores. Now, that is a little bit tricky, just again, a little bit of an aside, because ketores has to come from community money. It has to come from public money. So by you reimbursing and buying ketores with that money, that's a bit of an issue, because that's private money, which is now used to buy a communal carbon.
When you said, sorry, does it mean that he has them prepare another batch of ketores, or do they just pay for a batch?
Right, correct. I'm slightly unclear in terms of what exactly. I understand why he's saying it. I'm not just sure how it's going to happen.
Because I mean, because even like ketores, like the guy takes like fistful and he's buying something, there could be a residual that doesn't make it all the way to the.
Okay, agreed. Okay, fine. So, exactly the details here, I'm a little bit unsure about, but I get the basic idea. Good. Tanya Kavase de Rav. And now the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa, and this Braisa is going to support Rav's position. So, truth be told, is that this machlokus between Rav and Levi is really a machlokus between Tanayim. Just unassigned Braisa. So we quoted one Braisa that supported Levi, now we're going to go the other way. So here, the Braisa is going to start off with a complicated case. You get benefit from money of a chatas or money of an asham. Meaning, a person needed to bring carbon on chatas. So, he didn't have the money. So what he did is he started making a collection. He had a piggy bank. And he deposited coins every day into that piggy bank so that eventually the money would be accrued in order so that he can buy himself a carbon chatas. Every time he puts a coin into that pushka, that coin now has kedushas carbon chatas. Right? The money has, obviously it's not kedushas a goof, but still, that money is earmarked, dedicated to a carbon chatas. And now, by accident, running out of the house, needs some change, runs into that piggy bank, and takes the money out and uses that money. So that's called Mila. He misappropriated that money. Good. So he was Moa. But here he was Moa money that was earmarked to a chatas. Okay. Midmei chatas, midmei asham, ashalo, karva chatas. So let's say the carbon chatas hasn't yet been brought. Meaning that he didn't misappropriate all the money. He misappropriated only some of the money. And now, there's still a little bit of money left over. So what is he going to do? It's very simple. He'll make restitution. He'll put that money, of course, together with the chomesh, back into the piggy bank. And now, he'll use the original money and his replacement money, or I'm sorry, whatever residual money there is, together with the replacement money in order to buy carbon chatas. Good. Yosef yavi chataso ve'ad shelo karv hashamo. Yosef yavi hashamo krav chataso. But what if his karmen chatas has already been brought? Meaning that there was enough money left in the pushka where he bought a karmen chatas. So he did. He bought himself a karmen chatas and he offered the karmen chatas. And then later discovered, oh no, I dipped into that money. And I took some of that money out, and I misappropriated some of that money. Oh no. And the carbon chatas has already been brought. Now what? So the Braisa says, Yecholi amelech. So now, he has to make restitution. But here's the story. That money that he's now assigning, he's going to be makdish it, and he's going to throw that money to Yam HaMelech. Because that money belonged with the other monies that were needed to buy his carbon chatas. So this is like, more than like, this is chatas and his kapur ba'acheres. It's a little bit tricky, I know. That part's a little bit tricky. And it's even a little more confusing when you think about the fact that he's going to be makdish money only so that money gets thrown into the Yam HaMelech. It's a little bit strange. Do me the biggest favor. Hold that thought until the end of today's daf. I know that's strange, but trust me on this one. We're gonna revisit this part of the braisa later on. Kvar karav hashamo. We're gonna do this again. Same scenario. Took a little bit of money from his asham piggy bank and didn't realize it. and spent the money now in the Karban Hashem, offered the Karban Hashem, and now he realized, oh no, I took some of the money and I used the money for myself, right? I need a haircut. I took the money and I got myself a haircut. Oh no. So now he's going to have to make restitution. But here, as we have learned already by an Asham, if you've already, if you have an Asham, Shinizkapru Bala Bacheres, so what happens with the residual Asham? Doesn't need to die. It can wait till it gets a blemish and redeem it. And the money goes to Nadava. It goes to the Pushka for Ketz HaMizbeach. So here, you have the money, meaning you need to procure the money because that money now is money that you need to make restitution with. That's Mi'ila money. Yiplu Nadava. So take that money in, just simply put in the Pushka. Okay, those first cases of the Braisa were complex, but now we move on to the Braisa. Hanan Mikachi Kadashim, Lefnei Zrikas Damim, V'Yimur Kadashim, Kalim La'achat Zrikas Damim, Ma'ashan Nana Yiplu Nadava. And now we get to the part of the Braisa which we've all been waiting for. Because this part of the Braisa supports Rav. What does this part of the Braisa say? Exactly what Rav said. That if I eat meat of Karban before Zrikas Dam, or if I eat meat of Imurim after Zrikas Dam, so whatever value I took, so therefore I put it at I find out its value, add a chomish, and put it in a dava. Good. And this part of the Braisa clearly supports Rav. And then the Braisa continues. We're going to continue. Kol karbanos ha-mizbech l'mizbech. Karbanos kachi b'lekabayas l'bekabayas. Karbanos tzibor l'nadava. L'nadava tzibor. Any carbon of the mizbech goes to the mizbech. Any carbon of b'lekabayas goes to b'lekabayas. And any carbon of tzibor goes to tzibor. Okay, that's the end of the Braisa. Now, the Gemara points out, that end of the Braisa is a little, that's a little funny. Hagufa kashya, the Gemara right away immediately points out there's a contradiction. Because, Ashlo karvachata so yosif yavi chata so mishikarvachata so yechel yama melech. Look, go to the first part of the Braisa, the complicated part of the Braisa, where you took money from your chata's piggy bank, and you used it. And the Braisa made a distinction of when you discovered it. Did you discover it before you bought your carbon chatas and offered your carbon chatas, or did you discover it after? So the Braisa made a big to-do about when you actually discovered it. And meanwhile, you get to the end of the Braisa, and the end of the Braisa just kind of without any distinction whatsoever. You stole from the Mizbech, you reimburse the Mizbech. You stole from Bedek Abayis, you reimburse the Bedek Abayis. Meaning, without making any distinctions whatsoever. So, the Gemara points out, seems to be difficult. Kasha, Achelo karvachatos Yosef yavi chatos mish karvachatos yechol yam hamelach v'ketani, and it says in the last part of the Braisa, kol karbanos hamizbeach lemizbeach, and the Gemara notes v'loshna diichpor baalim v'loshna hecha delo ichpor, and in the last part of the Braisa, we're not making any distinctions whatsoever. Okay. The Gemara says, "Reisha Rabbi Shimon he the Amar Kol Chata Shekiper Baalei Tamos and Sefer one on the top of Daf Yud the Sefer Rabbanan." So the Gemara says, "What we're going to have to do, although this is never the preferred approach of the Gemara, is that we're going to have to split the first half of the Braisa and the second half of the Braisa." Now, first half of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon. Do you remember? This is Temura talk. This takes us back to Masechta Temura. There was a debate between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim in terms of the precise definition of Chata Shenizkapru Bala Ba'acheres. Right? And the Gemara there pointed out that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's always going to be Chata Samesa. Meaning, it does not matter if I lost the animal, found it, right, I lost an animal, designated its replacement, and found it. Lost an animal, designated a replacement, offered it, and then found it. According to Rabbi Shimon, it never matters. According to Rabbi Shimon, as long as I have a replacement chatas, the original one needs to die. That's Rabbi Shimon's position. So the first part of this braisa that says that it makes a difference whether I discovered my mi'ila before kapara or after kapara, that's going like Rabbi Shimon. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, once I lost my animal and designated its replacement, the original animal is chatash and iskapru ba'ala ba'acheres. Okay. And the last part of the braisa, that's going like the chachamim. Remember, the chachamim said that the only time I have the category of chatash and iskapru ba'ala ba'acheres is only when I lost the animal, found its replacement, offered the replacement, and then found the original animal. That's chatash and iskapru ba'ala ba'acheres. And that last half of the Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, and then, I'm sorry, that's going like the Chachamim, sorry. And then the Gemara points out, this is correct, Amar Gvia, the Beik Sil, the Ravashi, Hachi Amar Abaye, Reisha Rabbi Shimon, Besefer Rabbanan. And Abaye said the same thing as well. That's how you're going to have to understand the Braisa. Okay. In the meantime, however, here's where we're at. Okay? I know that's that was just a lot of information. Here's where we're at. We're basically now, I eat karban of kachim before Zrikas Adam, so I have to make restitution. To whom do I have to make restitution? To the Mizbeach. How do I do it? So that's a machlokas between Rav and Levi, and subsequently a machlokas between the Tanaim. According to Rav, I simply take the money which I stole, put it, figure out how much it is, add a chomish at 25% and put it in the pushka. Put it in Nedava. Okay, and then, so basically I stole from the Mizbeach, I'm reimbursing the Mizbeach. Levi said that's not good enough, because not all the money is going to go to the Mizbeach. Some of the money which is used to buy an animal will be, of course, invested into the hide of the animal, and the hides go to the Kohanim. So that's not a good way of reimbursing the Mizbeach. The better way, says Levi, the preferred way, the correct way, I should say, is to buy something like Ketores. Okay, and this machlokas between Rav and Levi is a machlokas also between Tanaim as well. The Braisa that we use to support Rav is a little bit difficult because there seems to be a stira between the first part of that Braisa and the last part of the Braisa, which is really tangential to our whole discussion because that's not the part of the Braisa that we're really interested in terms of supporting Rav, but it is a discrepancy. And the Gemara says that the distinction between the first part of the Braisa and the second part of the Braisa is really a manifestation of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Okay. We are now on Daf Yud, and we're on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, and the Gemara here is a little bit choppy because now we're going to go back to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? Yes.
After making restitution with the money back in the pushka, after the fact, the carbon is no good, right?
No, the carbon will be fine. What do you mean? What do you mean? What? The carbon.
He realized it didn't make you up.
He real
brought up already.
Right, so good, but the carbon was purchased with money that he earmarked for the carbon. The carbon's fine. The issue is that the money that was part of the money that he set aside for this carbon is now spent. He spent it, but the carbon itself remains fine.
The problem of compensating with Ketores because. It's a different sort of thing.
Yeah, agreed. It's again, there's got to be a way to do it. I'm not 100% sure how it's going to be done, but there's going to be a way to do it. But Levi's larger point is that it's got to be totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Whatever you're restituting, right, whatever you're reimbursing has to totally be burnt on the Mizbeach.
Which part of the karma did he eat? The meat or the
emurah? Well, it depends. By kache kachim, he ate the meat. No, the case, they agreed to what happened. They're now only disagreeing in terms of what the consequence is.
What happened
is you eat by a chatas or an asham, you ate the meat of it before Zrikas Dam, before the blood was sprinkled. So that means that there's still me'ila on the entirety of the animal. And by shlamim, you ate the imurim, the parts that are going to go up onto the Mizbeach after Zrikas Dam. Again, it's the same. The case is agreed to. It's only the question of how do you make proper restitution. Okay, I'm a Rava. Hakol Modim. Not yet. I'm sorry. We're
Rava.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, I'm right. We're okay. We're going back. Sorry. No. Okay, I was right. We're going back to the machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, you remember I talked about in the beginning of this morning. Ashes on the top of the Mizbeach. Yeah. Ashes on the top of the Mizbeach are subject to Mi'ila. Okay. According to Rav, once the Trumas Hadeshen is done in the early morning, no longer a din of Mi'ila. According to Rav Yochanan, still continues to be an Isra of Mi'ila on the ashes until it's taken out to the Beis Hadeshen. Okay. Amar Rava. Hakol Modim, Rava says, everyone agrees. And Rashi points out, this goes back to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Now, again, the Gemara is a little bit choppy because it seems like we already finished with Rav and Rav Yochanan, and it seems like we moved on to a new topic, the topic of eating karban and how to make proper restitution. And yes, the Gemara over here, according to Rashi, comes out to be a little bit choppy. Fun. So, Amar Rav HaKol Modim Shem Nena Mipsar Kashi Kadashim Shenitma Umi Imure Kashim Kadashim La'acha Shehalan Depater. Look, we have a debate between Rav and Rav Yochanan precisely when the Mi'ila ends for a Karban, at the precise moment of termination of Mi'ila. But here's where they're not going to disagree. Let's say you eat meat of Kodshei Kodashim after it becomes Tamei. Okay. After it becomes Tamei. Or, before I get to the other part. Okay, now let's think about this. Meat of Kodshei Kodashim that becomes Tamei. Okay, who can eat that?
Nobody.
Right. So, it is, I know this is going to sound funny, but
burnt.
It's a victim.
It's going to be burnt.
It's going to be burnt. And it's not going to be burnt on the Mizbech.
Right.
Okay? It's going to be technical, it's going to be burnt in the Azara, because any psul that takes place in the Azara has to be burnt in the Azara, just simply not on top of the Mizbech. Okay. This now becomes, so let's say you sit down and you eat it. Now, you have no business eating that yourself, but let's say you're just simply, you sit down, you eat it. Okay? There's a din of Mi'ila, right? We already learned that from day one of Mi'ila, as long as it had a Shasa kosher, so then there's going to be a... Well, I'm sorry, this is... No, they're right. Then I'm sorry. Then Mi'ila is going to go away. Okay, let's... right, so...
Well, the question is,
when did it become Tami? So let's... The words in the Gemara Kodem Zrika are put into parentheses... Okay, but let's, just for our purposes, our discussion, let's say it did happen before Zrika, so that makes it simple. So now there's a din of Mi'ila. According to both Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, everyone's going to agree that you're Pater. You're going to be exempt and excused from being Mol Be'Hekdesh. Right. And the reason why is because this now becomes a victimless crime. You're stealing from nobody. Meaning the idea behind Mi'ila is that you're stealing. So in order for something to be stealing, there has to be somebody that you're stealing from. Now, in the context of Karban, either I'm stealing from the Mizbeach, or I'm stealing from the Kohen. Either way, there has to be somebody entitled to it. And by Karban, by the way, I'm wrong about the Kohen. Meaning, once it's entitlement to the Kohen, it's stealing, just not Mi'ila. Mi'ila has to be specifically stealing from the Mizbeach. If the meat of a Karban becomes Tamei, so then there's no longer Mi'ila because it's not to go up onto the Mizbeach.
There's no Mi'ila Drabban on this.
That's a different... I don't know. That's not the... Yeah, I'm just saying, let's just deal with the facts at hand. Okay, that's why if the meat of Kodshei Kodashim, and let's say this is before Zrika Saddam, so that way we can understand how there still would be a din of Mi'ila, there would have been, but once it becomes Tamei, and I therefore can no longer put on the Mizbeach, and therefore is no quote-unquote owner to this meat, so therefore by me eating it, I didn't violate Mi'ila. Am I allowed to eat it? Of course not. Meaning that's not even up for discussion. The only issue is there a penalty of Mi'ila? And the Gemara says that both Rav and Rav Yochanan would agree, no, there's no penalty. And now let's move on to the next part of the statement. Now this one's trickier. Oh, this one's going to be harder to understand. I take the Imurim of Kachim Kalam, which as we already pointed out, needs to go up onto the Mizbeach. And I put it up onto the Mizbeach. Now, what have we been saying up until now? We've been, huh? No, they're not Tamei. And we've been saying up until now, they need to be reduced to ashes. Meaning, part of the whole definition of the Imurim is that the inside of the animals that go up onto the Mizbeach, and that's the Mizbeach's portion, and they need to be reduced to ashes. And what Rav is introducing over here, it's a very interesting concept, is that once you put the Imurim on the Mizbeach, your mitzvah's done. Naseh mitzvaso. Okay? And as we said, from day one of the most basic rules is that once the mitzvah's been performed, so therefore there's no longer a din of Mi'ila. And so another idea, it's really the Tamei and the Imurim of the Shlamim are like two separate points. The Imurim of Shlamim, once going up onto the Mizbeach, the mitzvah is done. Don't they need to be burnt? Yeah, but in other words, but the mitzvah is completed once you put on the Mizbeach. And that means then that if I now run onto the Mizbeach, again, just an odd person, but I run onto the Mizbeach and I take off the Imurim and I sit down and I eat the Imurim, so I did not violate the Isra of Mi'ila. Again, not condoning at all, but I did not violate the Isra of Mi'ila because mitzvah has been performed. Now, pshita. Now, to this, the Gemara then gets even more amazing, because then the Gemara says, isn't all this obvious? Now, kamafsid, I'm sorry, my kamafsid. Because to whom did you create a loss to? Now, I'm not sure if I'm right, I think this is more going to the first point of Rava rather than the second point of Rava. My kamafsid, ma'u detema basa kacha kadeshim shenitma islay mitzvahs sreifa lekohanim. Well, maybe you could have made the following argument. Look, if you have meat of Kachi Kedashim, you need to burn it. Not on the Mizbeach, because it's Tameh, but it still needs to be burnt. And it needs to be burnt in the Azara, which means that the Kohanim are going to burn it. So maybe you could argue the story is not over yet. Meaning there's still more to the story, and it's not just the story, but it's a mitzvah. Meaning the mitzvah still continues until you actually burn it. And so maybe you could argue there's still going to be Me'ilah, even after it becomes Tameh. Or, the Gemara says, Nimurim kachem kalem, ika mitzvah lafuche b'tzim nora. So funny. This Havamina, I thought is correct. But the Gemara says, look, by the Imurim of Shlamim, you put it up onto the Mizbeach, but you gotta burn it. The Gemara, the way the Gemara expresses it is, you gotta turn it over. You know how you barbecue in the back? Right? Understood. And Rashi actually speaks to that point. But I might have thought that there's more. I need involvement in that burning. I got to go up onto the Mizbeach. I got to turn it over. Right? It is a barbecue. It's the ultimate barbecue. Right? So I got to go up. I got to turn it over. And again, it's the same basic idea. The story's not done yet. There's still more to be done with it. And so therefore, the Isser of Me'ilah should not be lifted. So Kamash Malan, Dilo. And the Gemara says, that's the Havamina. And then the Gemara says very abruptly, and we reject the Havamina. Now, what Rashi explains...
What does that mean to reject the Havamina?
Meaning, that's what Rava's teaching us. Rava's teaching us that story's over. When I take the Imurim of Shlamim after Zrikas Adam and I put on the Mizbeach, done. We're done.
That's going against Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, who said that it has to be burnt and then...
Correct. And so now what we're going to say, and I know this is going to be, it is a little bit confusing. And now what we're going to say is that statement of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan was talking about Ola and Chatas and Asham, Kachim. But here, by Kachim Kalim, it's a different story. By Kachim Kalim, the simple placement of the Imurim on the top of the Mizbeach is sufficient, meaning you could check the box that says, did I put the Imurim on the Mizbeach? Check.
No, but the ashes still remain Me'ilah.
But yeah, but in other words, even before it's reduced to ashes.
Right.
No, even before it's reduced to ashes, there's not going to be a din of Me'ilah.
Now,
No. It's just, we're not talking about the person who was actually Mo'el. We are simply discussing when Me'ilah begins and when Me'ilah ends. We're just talking about the bookends of Me'ilah. Now, I'm going to share with you Rashi. Rashi tries to explain this better than I explained it. Rashi, of course, will do that. But I'll go through Rashi with you. So the Gemara says, Kamash Malan Delo. So Rashi writes, it's five lines before the lines of Rashi become wide. V'ikashelach amay amar Rav v'imur kamsh kalam la'achar shalu pata me'ilah ha'amir na la'elif neichum asadeshin to kol amelo pligi demal and bow. Rashi essentially asks your question, which is, didn't a day ago, didn't we say that it needs to be reduced to ashes according to everybody? And according to everybody, Me'ilah is not lifted until the Trumas Sedeshin the following morning. And now by the Shlamim, by the Imurim of Shlamim, all we're saying is, put on the Mizbeach and you get a check. The Amai Potter, Halokashia. So Rashi says that's not difficult. Hasam Lao Mari Be'efer, Ola, Uvi Imuri Kache Kadashim. So as I explained, but now here's Rashi saying it. The Gemara earlier was talking about Ola, or the Imurim of Chatas and Asham. Dechamiri, they're more Chamor. Okay? Which essentially means they have more Kedusha. That's why Me'ilah continues until they're reduced to ashes, but even furthermore, reduced to ashes and removed off the top of the Mizbech. Aval Imurim Kachim Kalim, Delochamiri Kulehai, but the Imurim Kachim Kalim, which are not as Chamor, Mishum Hachi, Hanena Mehem La'achar Sha'alu Pater. Okay, so therefore, just placement on the Mizbech is going to be enough. Now, I'm going to try to explain this better. what I'm about to say may or may not be correct. How about that as a disclaimer? But what I made this point earlier in the Masechta, and I think this is what Rashi's speaking to, I believe, is that when you're talking about kashim, chatas hashem and olah, they're fundamentally mizbeach property. Fundamentally mizbeach property. Al dizrikas adam, and we'll let the kohanim eat the meat of the animal, but in its very root, in its very nature, it is fundamentally a mizbeach carbon. And therefore, it needs to be burnt on the mizbeach. And burnt and reduced to ashes. Meaning, and at that point in time now, then and only then, it is nasa mitzvaso. But when you're talking about shlamim, fundamentally, the entire animal belongs to me. It's mine. I know it's a carbon, but it's fundamentally mine. It's not fundamentally the mizbeach's. However, after I do zrikas adam, now I got to take a portion of quote-unquote my carbon and put it up onto the mizbeach. But it's not fundamentally the mizbeach, it's fundamentally mine. So therefore, when I take that which I put onto mizbeach and place it on the mizbeach, done. Mitzvah's done. Okay, maybe that's what the Gemara here is speaking to. Maybe that's what Rashi is speaking to in terms of understanding the very basic nature of a kashi kachim versus kachim kalim. Perhaps. Okay, now we go on in the Gemara. Amarava. And now the Gemara is going to go back to the Braisa that we quoted on the bottom of the previous page. Yes, the Gemara here is a little bit choppy, I admit. And now we're going to go to that discussion, the piggy bank talk, where I dropped my coins into the pushka in order to basically get enough money for my carbon chatas, and then by accident, by mistake, I took some money out because I wanted a haircut, and I got my haircut, and so I was moa behektesh, right? So that money now is gone, and now I'm on the hook. So you remember what we said earlier? We said earlier that it depends when you find out about it. Did you find out about it before the kapara, or did you find out about it after the kapara? Before the kapara, very simple. Make restitution and pull the whatever left money is left over together with your replacement money and buy yourself a nice carbon chatas. And if there's residual, okay, that'll be an issue. But that's, and if you find out after kapara, so then the money has to be sent to Yam HaMelech. Amar Rava. Now, on this, the Gemara now is going to make the following comment. So, Rava says, even when we talk about having the money being thrown to Yam HaMelech, it means that you learned about it before the kapara. Aval la'achar kapara yipul nedava. But if you learn about it after kapara, what does that mean? So, here's the way Rashi explains it. And I'm giving you the short version of this discussion. There's a much longer version of this discussion. Let's say that you had no recollection. Meaning, you took money out of the pushka, and you went to go get yourself a haircut with that money, and now, with whatever money was left in the pushka, you bought your chatas, you offered your chatas, and then, after everything was done, and after the chatas has been offered, now it dawns on you. Oh no! Some of the money was now, of that chatas money, I was moel. I misappropriated that money. So now think it through. And this is again the point of, who is this? This is again Rava? Yeah. This is again the point of Rava. Think this through. We're going to now walk into the following scenario. I was moel behektesh. I have to make restitution. It happens to be that the money that I was moel was money that was earmarked for a carbon chatas. And I offered the carbon chatas already. And the point of discovery was all after I offered the carbon chatas. Now I'm gonna replace. Right? I'm gonna do right. I'm gonna replace, I'm gonna add a chomesh. So you're gonna tell me that I'm gonna invest kedusha into money only so that money gets destroyed? That's so, I mean, for a lack of better term, that's so absurd. That we're going to invest money lechatchila only so that money gets destroyed. If I invested that money with kedusha and then things happen and then I no longer have a need for that money because it's residual chatas money, okay, fine. So then I'll destroy the money. But with money has no kedusha whatsoever, and I'm investing it with kedusha only so that it could get destroyed. Rava says that's just untenable. It's just so untenable. So Rava therefore says that even when we go over that braisa again, And even when we record that position of the Braisa again, so what we're going to have to say is that's only if you discovered that you were Moel before you brought the Karban Chatas, but you didn't make restitution until after the Chatas was actually brought. But if discovery takes place after the Karban Chatas was offered, so then no. You're not going to invest money with Kedusha only so that the money be destroyed. I'll read this inside.
What are you doing?
Nedava. Okay, Amar Rava. Had Amar Kvar Karva Chatas Yochli Amar Melech Ani Miladis Yadalei Kame Kapara Aval Acher Kapara. But if you learn about it after Kapara, Yipul Nedava. My time in Mafrishim Itzchila Leibud. Because you don't do that. You're not Mafrish. You don't set aside money. You don't designate money only so that the money be lost. It's just, it's too preposterous. So therefore, it's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is that you're going to make restitution with money, and you put the money in the pushka. And when a pushka, I mean nadava. I mean so that it will be used to purchase ola. Okay. Okay, we start the next Mishnah, and we're going to end the Perek. And the Mishnah over here is very simple, because all it's going to do is highlight for us.
What happened to Levi and...
Right. Because... I told you, the Gemara is a little bit choppy. Yeah. Meaning we went from Rav and Shmuel to then the discussion of Imurim, back to Rav and Shmuel, back to the eating of Imurim. Okay, and then you understand Rav what... Rav and Levi, thank you. And you understand then what I mean when I say that Mila is a little, you know, it's a little choppier.
So
then,
what was the conclusion from Rav and Levi?
So between Rav and Rav Yochanan... No, not Rav and Levi, Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav. It goes to the pushka. Okay, good. And I taught you the word pushka, so that's already a bonus. Hakometz v'alavono, our Mishnah now is going to talk about things that are totally burnt on the Mizbeach. And we're going to be discussing now, again, bookends. When does Mi'ila begin? When does Mi'ila end? Kometz, right? The fistful flower of every mincha. Lavona, the frankincense that I lay on top of every mincha. Ketores, the incense that's burned daily. Minchas kohanim. Any mincha of any kohen is burnt in its totality on the mizbeach. Minchas kohen mashiach. Kohen gadol offers a mincha daily. Totally burnt on the mizbeach. Minchas nesachim. A mincha of nesachim. It could be either an accessory to a carbon or could be a mincha in of itself. Totally burnt on the mizbeach. Mo'alam behem mishahuk tishu. So from the point that you're maktishit now, mi'ila has begun. Kachon bekli. Once you put it into a kli sharis, you have now, it's mukhshar, now susceptible to tumah. Hochshar lipasal bit tvul yomim v'chusa kippurim. Uvalina. And then you could discuss, but we're not going to discuss it now, how ketores is subject to being tamei. Ketores is not a food. Okay, for another time. V'chayav en alav mishum nosar mishum tamei. And it is now susceptible to the psul of nosar and tamei. What about pigul? No. There is no pigul by any of these things. Upigul ain ba. Now there's no pigul. Now why not? It's very simple. Because pigul needs a matir. A matir can't be pigul. I'll say that again. Pigul needs a matir, and the matir itself can't be pigul. Meaning, the matir can affect pigul, but the matir itself cannot be pigul. So, upigul ain ba. Zaklal, kosheish lo matirin, chayav nalam shim pigul nos vatame. Asher krivu, matirin. V'choshe ain lo matirin. But if something doesn't have a matir, or if something is a matir, kevin shekidish bekli chayav l'shamin nosav etami upigol ein bad. There's simply no pigol by the matir. All these things don't have a matir, or they are the matir, therefore not subject to pigol. Minani milu on the top now of daf yud amud beis tan rabban yachlin chayav mishum tuma el b'dav sheish l'matirin. Now I might have thought that there's no tuma psul unless something has a matir. And watch, as the Gemara now will point out, it's a simple kavachomer. Not so simple. It's not, but it works. Vidinu, uma pigol. Look, let's take a look at the disqualification of pigol. Shehu b'yedia achas. Now, in order to create pigol, how many yedias do you need? Just one yedia. Meaning, while doing any one of the four avodas, you say, this is going to be eaten outside its prescribed time. That's it. One yedia is all you need. V'karbanu kavua. And what if I eat pigol? What if I eat a carbon that was resulted out of pigol? So I am now I'm on the hook. I have to bring a carbon chatas. The Gemara calls it a carbon kavua because it's a fixed chatas. Is there ever an exception to a rule? Meaning, is pigle ever okay? And the answer is never. Good. And meanwhile, the psul of pigle is only limited to something which has a matir. Good. And Rashi points out, we know that because pigle in the Torah is provided to us under the category of shlamim. And shlamim has a matir. So therefore, pigle is limited only to that which has a matir. Now, let's take a look at another disqualification of carbon, which is tumah. Now, tumah is much lighter. Tumah shehi b'shtei yediyas. First of all, in order to violate the issur of tumah, you need two yediyas. Meaning, remember shavuos, remember the first two parakim of shavuos? Don't worry, I don't as well. So so you need a yediyah before, and you need a yediyah afterwards. And then you need to lapse into unawareness in the middle. And then, v'karbano ol v'yared. On top of that also, what if you violate the issur of tumas mikdash v'kadashav? So it's an adjustable carbon chatas, it's not a fixed carbon chatas. And finally, v'hutra mechlala. And sometimes, it's okay. It's okay to be tamei and offer carbon. If the majority of the Jewish community are tamei, and it's a carbon sibur, like the carbon Pesach, fine, we'll bring a carbon v'tuma. So you see that the disqualification of tuma is much lighter than the disqualification of pigle. And so now we're going to go into a classic havachomer. If pigle, which is chomer, is limited to only carbonus that have a matir, tumah, which is more kal, should for sure be limited to any carbon that has a matir. Eino din shalai yechayv el adav sheish lamatirin, tamalamar, and mor aleihem ledorosechem. Kol isha sheyikrav mikol zarechem. Bechol hakadoshim hakosav medaber. The Torah, when outlining the din of tumah, says, any carbon. The Torah says, whether it has a matir, whether it does not have a matir. Yochli yuchayam lem miyad, okay. So now that I know that tuma goes to any carbon, even a carbon that doesn't have a matir, so when does tuma begin? You might have thought it begins the moment that you're makdish it, tamalam, asher yikrav. The pasuk says, asher yikrav. Now yikrav, as we're going to see in just a moment, does not mean when it's offered, but when it is put into the kli. Amar Rav Elazar, v'chi yesh nogeh shu chayev, ha-ketza, kol davar sheyesh lo matirin, enu chayev ad shi'akrivu matirin, v'chol davar sheyesh lo matirin, enu chayev ad shi'kadesh b'kli. And even when we say yikrav, we don't mean actually offered, we mean the moment that it goes into the kli. So by everything that we mentioned in our Mishnah, Komets, Lavona, Ketores, Minchas Kohanim, everything in our Mishnah, the moment that you take it and put it into a Kli Sharis, it is now subject to the Psul of Tumah. And if something Tumah were to touch it, it becomes disqualified. Okay, so, quickly. We went over, again, the Machlokas today between Rav and Rav Yochanan regarding when does Mi'ila end by a carbon? So, when it's reduced to ashes. But even that's subject to a Machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara today, on today's daf, said that even according to Rav and Rav Yochanan, by the Imurim of Shlamim, Mi'ila ends the moment that I place the Imurim on the Mizbeach, and I attempted today to explain why that's true, as opposed to by Kachikachim, where you needed to be reduced to ashes, and even furthermore, to be taken out of the Mizbeach and placed on the Beis HaDeshen. Okay? We went over a complicated discussion about what if a Moa buy money for a carbon chatas. The Gemara made distinctions whether you learn about it before the carbon was brought, after the carbon was brought. What if you made a discovery totally after the whole story ended? Okay, we talked about that. And finally, we ended the parak by discussing carbonos that are totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Mi'ila begins at Hekdesh, and Mi'ila continues until it's burnt. It's... Right? Yeah. Okay. And we also learned that all these things are not subject to pigle because pigle requires a matir, and all these things mentioned in the Mishnah do not have a matir. Hajjan Allah Chata. So that is the end of the second parak. Tomorrow morning, Mirtz Hashem, we begin the third parak of Mi'ila. Refu Shlema, Yakir, I'm sorry, Val Zaka Avram Ben Yakira Avigai. Rechanan Yemenekashim Aratzakosh Baruch, Zaka Sol Ficha Chir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenema, Anachafetz Amantziko Yagdil Torah V'yadir.